Hey guys, this is Flight Scene with F-16. You know me as Shannon F-16, Forester, former professional fighter. See, I can't even speak now. So we've set up this thing called Flight Scene. It's where I interview people in and around the fight scene that have been involved with it as a fighter or as a trainer. We're really interesting people. We've got great stories and we can share a lot to the young ones coming through. So I've set this thing up. We'll just interview people. Interviewed Sandy first up. Been in the sport since day one. Been through the game, still in it. So we had the first one with Sandy, and next one I'll be summoning the spirit of Raymond Dekker. And Raymond's gonna speak. Nah, just kidding. Some interesting people. Okay, tune in. Welcome to Fight Scene with F-16, an online space where we talk to fighters and trainers, past and present. We talk to them about their lives, get to know them, what makes them up, why they became a fighter. Finding out about the person behind the scenes, sometimes out there in the public, but develop a fighter. It takes a lot of work on behalf of the trainers. They put in a lot of time and effort. And a lot of interesting characters in this sport. So just getting to know people and just talking to people. My guest today is Sandy Hillard. Personal friend of mine for many years. Sandy's been in and around the sport for 35 years.
Thanks for having me, bro. You too. Thanks for having me, Shannon. I appreciate it, brother. It's good to be able to come and share this space, especially with someone like yourself, man, someone who's been around forever and knows this game and mentored me through my journey, a lot of it. So it's good to sit here and kick it with you, brother.
Yeah. So, Sandy, let's go right back. So what got you into Muay Thai kickboxing?
Actually, it's an interesting story. I never meant to fall involved with the sport. I had no interest in it at all. I grew up in a house where rugby league was everything. My twin brother played rugby league. I spent the first 15-odd years as his tackling bag, I think. When I got to high school, my best mate actually, she spotted a car that had BJC, Zendo Kai, Muay Thai, kickboxing. And she thought the guy driving the car was cute, so she followed him and got the number. And we were still at school then. She got her mum. Her mum to follow her this car around so she could get the number, making out that she was interested in trying the sport, but she was only interested in striking up a conversation with the guy in the car. So she begged me to come along, and I said, I'm not really into that. And that was at a little dojo in Wynnum, at Wynnum Central State School. We had the top floor, and she badgered me for weeks to go along with her until I caved in. But, yeah, I just went as a wingman or wing girl, and I think she stayed two lessons, and I'm still here 30 years later.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, so you and I have got a similar introduction into it. For those that don't know, BJC, Bob Jones Corporation, Zendo Kai Karate, and then it branched into the Muay Thai. I came through the BJC as well. A lot of fighters in Australia and New Zealand have done that. Sort of know where Sandy's coming from there. So what was your first fight, Sandy? What rules did you fight under? What year was it?
Yeah, it was the millennium year, actually. My first fight was in the year 2000. Yeah, I was only a kid then. I was 19 or 20, I think I was, something like that. And I actually turned up as a spectator and ended up on the card by a pure accident. The promoter at the time was actually one of my trainers, and Yeah, he put on this show. He used to do them down the local football club. So I turned up to watch the fights and one of the girls didn't show up. So he threw me in front of this girl who'd been training a couple of months for this fight. And I don't know what happened to the girl who was supposed to fight. Anyway, I jumped in. I borrowed a sweaty old pair of shorts from the guy before me who was also in our club. And they jammed his mouth guard in my mouth, which didn't fit. I choked on that the entire fight. It was a 3-by-2-minute round, full tie rules. There was no pads back then. Like, we didn't have elbow pads or shinies or nothing. It was just get in and smash, and it was all eight weapons. It was excellent. Yeah. I fell in love with it. I loved it.
I remember going to my first Zendo Kai lesson and just doing the warm-ups with my mate, 13, and just cracking up laughing when doing the hip rotation warm-ups, just being teenagers laughing. But, yeah, I was the same. When they introduced the leg kicks in the Muay Thai, and trainers were like, just leg kick and just check them as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Like hobbling home after training. Like, Uncle's like, are you all right? You're all right. I'm like, oh, that was so good, eh? That was
so good. Same, man. I remember my trainer used to tell us we weren't doing it hard enough. Even when it hurt, you'd have to, it's like, that didn't hurt. Okay, no worries. No, it didn't. All right. Same thing, the old hobble.
Sandy, I don't know what year it was. You came down from Brisbane to train with us at Boon Chu Gym.
Yeah.
Caught one of our girls, Juanita, and then you end up coming down and joining the team. And you got us all jobs. Got us all jobs at your work that you're working at the time. On the Gold Coast lifestyle.
Yeah.
One house full of dull bludging surfies, the next house a house full of dull bludging kickboxers.
Seagull lab. Seagull lab. Yeah. It was like a 2-bedroom unit with 14 people crammed in it. Just a cesspool. Many memories were made in that joint, but
So Sandy, it's been I've had 8 years sort of away from the sport, just other parts of my life and family priorities and stuff. I've just popped my head back in about a year and a half ago. But sort of haven't caught up with you for a while, but I know you've been doing some really, really good stuff sort of since we were knocking about. I know, let's just take it back 10 years. You've been in different capacities in the sport. You've been a trainer, also a promoter. You've done some shows and been doing a lot of work in the mental health sector. Something else that's my heart too. I find really good. You've been reaching a group of people that probably haven't been introduced to the sport. Indigenous youth on Strati Island. Yeah. Just tell us a bit more about that, Sandy.
Yeah, that was, I had a gym here 20 years ago called Phoenix Gym. I had a couple of little kid fighters back then, and one of them later on took his life when he was just shy of his 20th birthday. And he was actually the first kid that I'd ever put in the ring. Bond with him was strong because, you never forget your first little fighter, your little protege, I had a strong bond with that kid, and I was actually off the island out in mining when I found out what had happened to him. And I ended up coming back to Strati, and we rebirthed the gym and named it after him. And I ended up losing my nephew like a year after Jai, which was horrible. And he'd also had a fight under me. And he actually took his life 3 weeks after that. So I kind of stepped away for a few years, and I'd done one show just for Jai's sake, and then Mitchie took his life 5 days after that show, which was all about mental health. We raised $21,500 for Beyond Blue, and everyone was cheering. Beyond Blue were happy. The promoters, all the fighters, everybody was happy. And then I got another suicide 5 days later in my own family. It was my sister's son, also one of my fighters. I kind of just disappeared back to the desert for a few years and just worked on building the Quantum Cup message which was the slogan that I created, You Are Worth Fighting For. And I employed the help of fighters from all over Australia, and at all levels too. We had novices, we had world champions, we had so many people involved, and a couple of boxers as well. We printed them some shirts and threw them some clothing and said, you know, pump our message when you walk out and fight. And they did. And then it kind of caught fire, that You Are Worth Fighting For slogan that I'd created the image for. I just printed it on some stuff and threw it on some fighters. And I didn't think it'd go much further than Queensland. And then I had people from all around the world messaging, you know, I really want to be a part of the ambassador team. So I had people from all around Europe. I had people from Canada, America. I had the Farrells, Eddie and Brooke Farrell as well, who were overseas at the time doing their thing. Great people too, by the way. So they were my Aussies, plus Celeste. She was over in Thailand. I had people from everywhere, people in Thailand, throughout Asia, America, Canada, Europe, all jumping on wanting to be a part of this, and it just blew up. So Conor Walker Cup message was thrown all over the world, which was pretty surprising to me that this little thing that we created on Strati for Jai had just blown up so quickly. But what it proved was how many people are affected by suicide and mental health, and how many people, especially in our fight community around the world, how many people that message spoke to, which at the moment I'm not doing too much with Conor Walker Cup. I haven't deactivated it. I've just stopped promoting it. I've stopped putting myself into it because I was slipping mentally. So it's just, it's still there. I've just put it on the back burner to allow myself to do some work on me and start healing my own traumas and past triggers and that, which has been a wonderful journey. I work with a trauma counsellor, Nat Mazzoni, who I love dearly, and she's helping me through my own personal journey. And it's been great. It's been incredible. And I've learned a lot about myself through the journey. We've been on it for just over a year. And as I said, Conor Walker Cup, I may redo another show. I may not. I may keep pumping the message. I may not. But I do hope that that message will stay present with people, that You Are Worth Fighting For message. Whether I decide to promote another show or not, I hope it's something that stays etched in people's memories forever. I just hope that people will remember that message, especially when they need to, when they're struggling. Because us as fighters, as you know, we all struggle, man, and it all sucks. Life sucks. And the thing is, now with social media so present as part of promoting Muay Thai around the world, it's so big now because of social media. I think that there's a kind of pressure on people to show the glamorous sides of the fights and the highlight reels, the great training sessions, the wonderful ones, whereas not many people show the reality of, hey, you had a shit day today in the gym. It was a bad training session. You felt bad. You had to work all day. Your kids are crook. Your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your partner, you've been blooming all day because you're not spending enough time with them because you're in the gym all the time preparing for a fight. You're cutting weight. You're mentally struggling. You're physically suffering. Not many people show the ugly side of fighting. Yeah. And I think this is where social media can be a bad thing, because people feel they've got to live up to an expectation to get more support, which leads to sponsorships, which leads to getting, you know, living the dream. But people don't show the nightmare side of it. And I think that's why my message hit home so broadly around the world.
Take us back, Sandy. You've been around. I remember you've done a tour. I can't remember what it was called, but training, you train with so many different people, different trainers from around Australia. A lot of the great trainers, great people in the sport, Stan Longanides, and over in Western Australia, the crew over there in Western Australia. You would have got a big cross section of different training methods and techniques, and but also different wisdom and training strategies. What's something that stands out that you were taught or that you've picked up that you pass on to your fighters?
Well, that tour that you're talking about, the Great Southern Land Tour, yeah, I did that, when was that, I think 2012 or 13, I think it was. Yeah, I'd sort of come up with a concept because I used to watch Mudsy. Remember Mudsy? He used to go around and interview everyone. He used to go around at the back and interview fighters just in Brisbane and Gold Coast. And I thought, that's a really good concept. I love watching his interviews. He used to interview Wayne and Nathan and all those boys, you know, right before Evo, he'd be out the back interviewing the fighters. And I liked what he did. And I thought, I'd love to do that, but go around Australia, because at that time, no one had really done that. So yeah. I thought, I'm just going to grab a mic and I'm going to put it under the mouths of everyone in Australia. And then I thought, well, while I'm at it, I might as well train. I was on a mine site. I was heavy. I was on a mission to lose some weight. So I thought, let's kill two birds with one stone. Let's go to these gyms. Let's train. Let's film the training and then interview them afterwards. And it just caught fire. Like, it was just, I asked a few people. I went to Melbourne first. That was the first leg of the tour was Melbourne, and went all the way through the gyms there and met, again, Stan Longanides. Rob Jones, I got to sit in his office and have an interview with him, which was brilliant. And yeah, I got to train with so many people around Australia from different gyms and some of the best gyms as well. And it was amazing because you're right, I did learn so much, but people kind of cottoned onto that because no one was really doing it. So everyone kind of started watching the journey. And then I'd get invited, you know, do you want to come to our gym? You know, please come to our gym. And I'm like, People are asking me to come to their gym. I'm just a little fat miner that loved Muay Thai and fought a few times, you know. Now I'm getting invited to all these gyms, and then I got invited to shows to take photos, and then, yeah, that kind of took off. And then I just stopped. I kind of just went, well, I did that, and I stopped. And I just
had enough support.
I just went back to mining. Like, I'm kind of like that as a person. It's like I want to create something. And then once I've created it, it's like, oh, I've done that now, and I'll just stop and go and find something else to do. And I learned heaps from different people, different styles. You know, Melbourne was still fairly strong with kickboxing at that stage, but Muay Thai was starting to sort of turn now. I think now Melbourne are probably the strongest state now in Australia for Muay Thai, with Perth probably a close second, if not even. Queensland Muay Thai is not the same, not bagging it, but it's just, the other states have come so far in Muay Thai that now Queensland's not the leading state anymore. Victoria is. Can you believe that? Victoria, the old kick 'em a boxing state. Now they're leading the charge here in Oz.
Yeah, I guess everything, you know, the sport evolves, eh?
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, even now, you know, as a coach now, I'm trying to get better as a coach. I can't fight anymore. I wish I could do what you did a few weeks ago and jump back in and have one more. But I can't.
No, there's always one more in us.
Mate, Mark Pease told me that he saw that on Facebook, because he said to me, because I go there all the time, he goes, I hear Forrest is fighting again. I went, no way. I didn't believe him. He goes, no, I seen it on Facebook. It's happening. I said, Kylie would have his nuts in a grill if she found it. No way, he's not allowed. And then I seen the post and you did it.
I got permission to do it.
I didn't think the boss had let you, mate. I even argued with Peasy, like, nah, that's no way. But
she's Peasy's actually been still a bit more flexible.
I think it's called old age. Sorry, Kylie, love y'all. I'm only saying it because I'm here in Australia and you're in New Zealand. There's a young boy over there that I'm interested in watching him grow, is that Titus Proctor from New Zealand.
I really
enjoy watching that kid get better and better with every fight.
He's awesome.
I like that kid. He's a beast.
He's a local from where I am here. He's a local Hamilton boy.
Yeah. Have you met him? Have you done any training with him?
No. I train some of his cousins. Couple of the boys. It's like New Zealand's funny. It's because it's so close, like, you know, Auckland's only an hour and a half away, and it's not that far down to Wellington. It's different to Australia. Like, when I was in Cairns, it was like you're just so isolated, like 6 hour plane flight and everything's so close here, so it's a lot easier.
Yeah, that's all.
Alright guys, that was part one with Sandy. If you want to hear more, tune in to part two. Like, subscribe, whatever you do for these things. You know a whole lot more about it than I do. Yep, so subscribe. Thank you.